Galatians chapter 5, 16 through 23. As you know, we've been for several weeks studying the deeds of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Very important passage for the Christian life. I found this on Facebook. It's a wonderful explanation of why we are spending so much time on this one passage. I thought this was really fantastic. Saw this on Facebook. Listen to this. The maker of all human beings, God, is recalling all units manufactured, regardless of make or year, due to a serious defect in the primary and central component of the heart. This is due to a malfunction in the original prototype units, codenamed Adam and Eve, resulting in the reproduction of the same defect in all subsequent units. This defect has been technically termed subsequential internal non-morality, more commonly known as sin. Primarily expressed in the following symptoms: loss of direction, foul vocal emissions, amnesia of origin, lack of peace and joy, selfish or violent behavior, depression or confusion in the mental component, fear, idolatry, rebellion. The manufacturer, who is neither liable nor at fault for this defect, is providing factory authorized repair and service free of charge to correct this defect. The repair technician, Jesus Christ, has most generously offered to bear the entire burden of the staggering cost of these repairs. There is no additional fee required. The number to call for repair in all areas, P-R-A-Y-E-R. That number again, P-R-A-Y-E-R. Once connected, please upload sin through the repentance procedure. Next, download atonement from the repair technician Jesus into the heart. No matter how big or small the sin defect is, Jesus will replace it with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Please see the operating manual, the Bible, basic instructions before leaving Earth, for further details on the uses of these fixes. Warning: continuing to operate the human being unit without these corrections voids the manufacturer warranty, exposing the unit to dangers and problems too numerous to list, and will result in the human unit being permanently impounded. For free emergency service, call the repair technician, Jesus Christ. Danger: the human being unit's not responding to this recall action will have to be scrapped in the furnace. The sin defect will not be permitted to enter his kingdom so as to prevent contamination of that facility. Thank you for your attention. God. P.S. Please assist where possible by notifying others of this important recall. Amen. You may connect to the Father anytime by knee mail. Praise God. That is why we are studying Galatians 5, 16 through 23. Please stand with me and let's read that all-important scripture for today. Galatians 5, 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. That little story I read from the internet this morning reminds us all that those deeds of the flesh are defects. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, Trinity Baptist Church comes together and says, we forsake those and we embrace the repair. Amen?
Amen.
Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now? Will you pray right now that God would speak to your heart from the Holy Scriptures this morning? Pray that God would soften your heart and open your heart and give you a humble, teachable, repentant heart, that the Word of God may go down deep and change your life forever. You pray that right now. Would you right now please pray for the other people in this room that God would give them the beautiful treasure of a broken and contrite heart, a humble heart, a repentant heart, that the Word of God would go deep into their hearts and change their lives forever. Would you now please pray for me that I would preach this sermon accurately and therefore powerfully, that I would be filled with the Holy Spirit and please God right now. Heavenly Father, glorify your name and advance your kingdom, we pray, in this building and all over the world as our brothers and sisters are meeting in your name today. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart and the words of the mouths and the thoughts of the hearts of all my fellow pastors around the world be pleasing to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We talked about love, Trinity Baptist. We've talked about joy. Today is peace. Peace. You should have sermon notes in your bulletin that you can follow along with. You also, as Michael Tyler said, if you have a smartphone, you can follow along on your smartphone. Instructions are in your bulletin. If you're not following along on your phone, please turn your phone off so that no distractions will keep you from the Word of God. What is peace? Peace means everything is in order. Peace means bound together or put together. The opposite of peace is broken or divided, disorder. Peace means bound together or put together. Peace is the tranquility of mind that comes from a relationship with God. If you have peace, it means your relationship with God is okay. Your relationships with other people are okay. Your life is in order. In the Old Testament, peace meant rest, safety, freedom from care. As I studied peace this week, the best definition that I found was by Bible scholar James Boyce. And I have put the whole thing in your notes. You can see it there at the top of your note sheet. Peace is God's gift to man, achieved by him at the cross of Christ. It is peace with God and is to express itself both in peace of mind and very practical peace between all those who know God. That is at the top of your notes, isn't it? Praise God. Wonderful definition. Number one in your notes, peace comes from God. Peace comes from God. Over and over again in the Bible, God is called the God of peace. Look at Judges 6:24. Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it, "The Lord is peace." To this day, it is still in Ophrah of the Abizrites. The Lord is peace. You see in your Bible where it's L-O-R-D in all caps. That is the divine name, Yahweh. The Lord is peace. In the Hebrew, it is Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is peace. Number two in your notes, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came to bring us peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Our relationship with God was broken. Christ came to fix it. We now have a restored relationship with God. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We were separated from God. We were God's enemies. That's what the scripture says. We did not have peace with God. But now we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross to take the punishment for our sins and restore our relationship to God. And now all those who have faith in Christ are forgiven of their sins and legally, officially reconciled to God. We have peace with God. Look at Colossians 1. 19 through 22. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, that is Jesus Christ, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. If you've been coming to Sunday school at 9:15, Brother Jerry Mills has been doing an outstanding job of teaching you how to observe carefully reading verses and paragraphs to squeeze all of the glorious goodness out of the passage. I would encourage you in your homes this week, look at Colossians chapter 1, especially 19 through 22, but the whole chapter, and read it carefully over and over again and squeeze all of the goodness out of there. Fill your mind with the beautiful Word of God this week. If you want instruction on how to do that, Jerry teaches that every Sunday at 9:15 right over here. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2? Ephesians is a beautiful book, and you know chapter 2, verses 1 through 10 is all about grace. It opens with, "We were dead in our trespasses and sins, but God made us alive in Christ." And then the famous verse 8 and 9, "For by grace you've been saved through faith." And then it picks up in verse 11 with this powerful statement. Ephesians 2, 11 through 18. "Therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh..." It's talking to us. Gentile means a non-Jew. Someone who is not an ethnic Jew, which would be most of us. "Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you..." That is all non-Jews. "You were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you," non-Jews, "you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
"For he himself is our peace, who made both groups," Jew, Gentile, "who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who are near, for through him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father." Wow! What an incredible passage. Jews are God's precious chosen people.
Amen.
Jews are God's precious chosen people. In Ephesians, Paul says, "At one time, we," non-Jews, "were excluded, strangers, and without hope. But look what Jesus did." Look what Jesus did. Look at verse 13 again. Verse 13. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Verse 16, "and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by having put to death the enmity." Hallelujah. In Christ Jesus, Jews and non-Jews have peace with God and each other.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus, Jew and Gentile, or non-Jew, have peace with God and with each other. Christ Jesus is our peace. We've been united to God in Christ. We've been united to our Jewish Christian brothers and sisters in Christ. We are all one in Christ. This is so wonderful. In Cathedral City, there is a beautiful church called Ohav Shalom. Ohav Shalom. It is Jewish people who believe that Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah. Their congregation consists of Jewish and Gentile believers, because in Jesus we are all one. Galatians 3, 26 through 29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. This is so awesome. This is so awesome. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. You look in the Middle East. Everybody wants peace in the Middle East. Peace between Jews, peace between Jews and Palestinians. And everybody's trying to figure out how to do it. Countries spend billions of dollars trying to bring about peace in the Middle East. What is the answer to peace in the Middle East? What will bring peace to the Middle East? Jesus Christ will bring peace to the Middle East. When Jews embrace Jesus as their Messiah, and when Palestinians embrace Jesus as their rescuer and master, as their Lord and Savior, they not only have peace with God, but they will be reconciled to one another. There will be peace. Our Trinity Baptist missionaries to Israel, David and Margalit Friedman, they are our official Trinity Baptist Church missionaries to Israel. You know what they're doing in Israel specifically? They are there to bring peace in the Middle East. And they're doing it not with politics, but with the power of the gospel. They're doing it by bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to Jew, to Muslim, to Palestinian. And when they come together, there is peace. And you can go to Israel today and you can see Jews and Palestinians worshiping together in Jesus Christ. In your notes, there's another aspect to this peace, and it's number three. We have inner peace and rest even in hard circumstances. We have inner peace and rest even in hard circumstances. You're in Ephesians. One book over is Philippians. Why don't you join me there, please? Philippians 4, 4. Philippians 4, 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, same Greek word, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I can stop worrying about stuff. And we can experience God's peace. Instead of worrying, we pray. And the peace of God guards our hearts and minds. In school, I was pretty good in English. I was okay in science. I was okay in social studies. Believe it or not, I'm not going to point him out, but one of my high school friends is actually in the building today. And he can verify this, but I'm not going to point him out so you can't find him. But I was bad at math. Bad. But one equation I do know really well, and I put it in your notes. Praise plus prayer equals peace. Praise plus prayer equals peace. Next in your notes, another aspect of peace. The Holy Spirit unites us with other believers in Christ and leads us to peace in our relationships. The Holy Spirit unites us with other believers in Christ and leads us to peace in our relationships. The result of the Holy Spirit's presence and work in our lives is peace. Peace with God, peace with one another, peace in your marriage. Is your marriage broken? If both husband and wife will surrender to the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to be the controlling influence in their life, the result will be peace. Because the fruit of the Spirit is peace. The marriage will be healed because of the power of the Holy Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Do you have a broken relationship with your brother or your sister? A son, a daughter, a neighbor, a coworker, a fellow Christian, a fellow member of Trinity Baptist Church? Do you have a broken relationship with someone? Trinity Baptist Church, the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Surrender to the Holy Spirit. Surrender to the Holy Spirit, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, put to death the deeds of the flesh, the things we threw in the trash can. Put to death the deeds of the flesh. And let the Holy Spirit build in you the fruit of the Spirit, and there will be peace. Jesus came to bring us peace, to restore our relationships with God, and to bring us peace with one another. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. Do you see how beautiful this is? Sin has broken the relationships of the world. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. All over the world, there is racial or ethnic hatred. The answer is not politics. The answer is not peace accords, peacekeeping troops, peace conferences, military intervention, economic sanctions, international programs. The answer is Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the Prince of Peace. This is something we should all be praying about. Amen. There is ethnic hatred everywhere. Ethnic hatred in our schools, ethnic hatred on the streets. It's everywhere. All over the world, there is fighting, genocide, wars, division. The world's worst disasters are the result of ethnic hatred. The history of the world is full of one ethnic group massacring another. 1994. The horrible tragedy of Rwanda, where one ethnic group slaughtered 800,000 members of the other ethnic group in 3 months. Racial hatred cannot be solved by politics, because the reason is sin. Racial hatred is the result of sin. Sin is the problem. Therefore, Jesus is the solution. What kind of message do you think it sends to the world? What kind of message do you think it sends to the world when politics fail? Peace conferences fail. Economic sanctions fail. Military intervention fails. Government programs fail. International movements fail. But the gospel of Jesus Christ comes into a community and there is peace.
Amen.
What kind of message is sent to the world? You have it in your notes. Number 6. When people that formerly hated and killed each other become loving, unified brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus is exalted for all to see as the Prince of Peace. It's awesome. Praise God, this type of thing is happening all over the world. Some of us read through the book Operation World. It's a prayer guide, and you can see it happening. You read about the country of the day, and it says, here's all the problems. This ethnic group hates this ethnic group. And those of you who are reading the prayer guide Operation World with me can see that almost every country in the world, one of the prayer requests is, this ethnic group hates this ethnic group. But then you see a section in the book called Answers to Prayer, and it says this ethnic group and this ethnic group are coming together in Jesus Christ. It's the only thing that's working in the country. We were at beach camp several years ago, and I was walking around the camp, and I met a fellow Christian. I must have been carrying my Bible or a tract or something, because he says, hey, brother. And I walked over, and we had fellowship, and we were talking about Christ. And he says, yeah, Jesus has completely changed my life. I was a gang member. I was a gang member, and I was fighting and hating and doing all this stuff. And I became a Christian, and he completely changed my life. In fact, I want you to meet my friend. And there was two families in the campsite, and he invited his friend over. He said, here, come meet this guy. He's a Christian. And I met him, and they're in the same campsite. They're camping together. Their kids are playing together. They're playing games. They're cooking. They're sharing food. They're camping together. And he introduces his friend to me, and I meet his friend, and then he looks at me and says, this guy was one of my rival gang members. I came to Christ, he came to Christ, and now we're brothers. It's awesome. Just awesome. What kind of message does it send to the world when only Jesus Christ can bring people together? Tragically, some Christians are sending a different message. What kind of message does it send when Christian marriages end in divorce? What kind of message does it send the world when Christians gossip about one another and slander one another and fight with one another and there is unforgiveness and bitterness and broken relationships in the church? What kind of message does it send? Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul gives us a tragic example of when things in the church go wrong. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Does any one of you, when he has a case against his neighbor, he's talking to the church in the city of Corinth, does any one of you, when he has a case against his neighbor, dare to go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? If the world is judged by you, are you not competent to constitute the smallest law courts? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more the matters of this life? Verse 4. Do you have it there, Dave? That's okay. So if you have law courts dealing with matters of this life, do you appoint them as judges who are of no account in the church? I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not among you one wise man who is able to decide between his brethren, but brother goes to law with brother, and that before unbelievers? Actually, then it's already a defeat that you have lawsuits with one another. It's already a defeat that you have lawsuits with one another. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be defrauded? Next verse. Do you have more, Chrissy? On the contrary, you yourselves wrong and defraud. You do this even to your brethren. Paul says, if one Christian takes another Christian to court, it doesn't matter who wins, we all lose. We all lose. Why? Because when there is disunity in the body of Christ, the gospel is discredited. That is a terrible loss. When there is disunity in the body of Christ, the gospel is discredited. What kind of message does it send to the world? When Christians gossip about one another and slander one another and fight with one another and there is unforgiveness and bitterness and broken relationships, what kind of message does it send? In your notes, when we fight and argue with each other, we dishonor Christ and discredit the gospel. When we fight and argue with each other, we dishonor Christ and discredit the gospel. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, on the screen behind me, Paul says, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's what we're called to do. Brothers and sisters of Trinity Baptist, let there be peace in the church. Whatever your issue is with another brother or sister, please remember that the most important thing is that Jesus Christ be exalted in this world. Amen. The most important thing is that we bring honor and glory and praise to our Lord. Here is what God is calling us to do. Behind me on the screen. Actually, please turn there with me. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. For the one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So what should we do? What should we do? It's summed up in Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Surrender to the Holy Spirit. Follow His leadership. And let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Last one in your notes. Peace is the result of the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who builds in us love and joy and peace. Oh God, we embrace peace. We forsake worry and anxiety. We certainly forsake gossip and slander and division and dissension and hatred and unforgiveness and bitterness. And we ask collectively that the Holy Spirit would build peace, that the peace of Christ would rule in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.